Quarterly News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Happy Monday. It's the start of a brand new week. Hope you had a nice weekend. This is the WABC Early News with Frank Morano.
Hello, Frankie. Yes, did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll spare you the details, but we're cat sitting this weekend.
Yes.
And it is not going, it did not go well. It
oh,
is
no.
not going well.
Oh, no. Is the cat at your house?
Yes. We have five very unhappy living entities, including the three cats that we live with. Well, I guess we have six, right? Rachel and me, the three cats that we live with, and mm-hmm. the cat that we're watching. Nobody's happy.
Oh, boy. Well, this just sounds unfortunate. Well, I'm sorry about that. I'm truly sorry about that, Frank.
Thank you.
At least we didn't have a bad weather week.
Oh, again. Beautiful weather this weekend.
Yeah, this was really nice. Today, unfortunately, well, no, not unfortunately, because summer, we like hot weather in the summer. Mm. This is what we expect. So from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're going to get up to 91 degrees today. It is going to be toasty with a fair amount of humidity. And I will say that it looks like the clouds will part maybe early on. And it'll be okay. I mean, just going to be a hot day. Tomorrow, we're getting up even warmer. We're getting up to 92 degrees with mostly sunny skies. Wednesday, 81 degrees with intervals of clouds and sunshine. We may have a stray shower or thunderstorm. Won't be too bad. And on Thursday, 79 degrees with scattered thunderstorms. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 74 degrees.
All right. Well, quite a bit happening in the news, and we're going to get you traffic and transit on the sevens coming up in just 2 minutes if Joe Nolan is back from his weekend of boating and shore life. But before we get there, let me tell you about a dust storm in Utah that is being blamed for sparking a crash that killed at least 7 people.
Oof.
Up to 20 vehicles were involved on a freeway in Millard County, Utah. They all slammed into each other yesterday when high winds kicked up dust, making it hard for drivers to see. Several patients are said to be in critical condition. Governor Spencer Cox tweeted prayers for the families of those who died and those fighting for their lives.
Yeah, you know, there were a couple really nasty accidents in our area, actually. One out in Quag, where 5 men died, and one woman who was passenger in the car is in critical condition out there in the Peconic Bay Medical Center. Apparently, one man, Justin Mendez, 22 years old, of Brookhaven, was driving his car when he crashed head-on into a Toyota Prius. He died at Stony Brook Southampton Hospital after he was taken to the hospital. The driver of the Prius, Farhan Zahid, sounds like this might have been an Uber type of situation. Mm. He was killed along with his 3 passengers, Michael O'Farrell, 20 years old, James Farrell, 25 years old, and Ryan Keese. All of them are from Manhasset. They all died at the scene. There was a 4th passenger, Brianna Maglio, 22 years old, of Garden City. She is hospitalized at the Peconic Bay Medical Center. This is just a horrible, horrible story. Yeah. So sad for the families.
I'll say. That is awful. All right. Well, speaking of traffic, let's get a look at what traffic is like at the moment with Joe Nolan, who has traffic and transit on the sevens. Good morning,
Hello, Joe.
How was your weekend? We have Joe. Can you hear me?
Mr. Nolan, are you there?
I'm not sure Joe can hear us. So we will we'll continue with some headlines as we try and reconnect with Joe. If Joe is able to hear us, just jump right in whenever you want.
I'm sorry. I was trying to turn things a little louder so you'd hear me. I'm sorry.
Oh,
that
great.
Was my fault.
Oh, good. All right. Well, we're relieved it wasn't our fault.
Yeah.
So how are the roads looking this morning,
yeah,
Joe?
Yeah, blame Joe. That makes sense.
Exactly.
No, it's my fault. Listen, when it's my fault, it's my fault. Northbound on Bruckner Boulevard, all lanes are closed to Country Club Road. Accident investigation. The New England Thruway is closed to Country Club Road as well. So you got a problem heading northbound. I-95 coming out of the Bruckner Interchange. heading northbound. Now, both ways on the Hutch, all lanes are closed as well at Pelham Parkway. East 3rd Avenue, there's flooding there, so you've got problems in Pelham on the Hutch. And then over in New Jersey, southbound 1 and 9 at Passaic River Bridge, an accident investigation. All lanes are closed at Central Avenue in Kearney, but this is west of the Passaic River Bridge, so the incident is actually in Newark. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations once again today are going to be in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7th Talk Radio, 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joe. We're going to get back to some of the headlines making the big news today. Let's talk about COVID, first of all. Dr. Anthony Fauci on Sunday, echoing the dark days before the pandemic and before the second wave of the pandemic, he told CNN's Jake Tapper that the country is heading in the wrong direction. I mean, I think that this is fairly obvious. He was responding to a question that Tapper made about a model that has predicted that we are on our way to 4,000 COVID deaths a day. But the good doctor says we have tools to blunt the skyrocketing infections, the vaccines. He was also asked whether health officials are going to revive these mask guidelines, the mask mandates for vaccinated Americans. And he said it is under active consideration, but he said it's up to the local authorities to make that call. So at this point, the 7-day average of new COVID cases in the U.S. up 53% over the previous week, according to the CDC.
All right. Well, thousands of people in Missouri are being told to mask up starting today. The city of St. Louis and the entire county now require masks be worn indoors again, even if vaccinated against the coronavirus. The state, along with Texas and Florida, make up 40% of all those new infections. And as we alluded to, Los Angeles County already brought back its mask mandate.
Sarah, it's not Missouri. It's Missouri. I like that video that you sent me.
Yes, well, thank you. That was discovered by my wife. Some sitcom characters arguing whether it's Missouri or Missouri.
It was very funny.
Thank you.
All right. Well, since we're talking about these mask mandates and so forth, his state has the honor of having one of the highest rates of infection. But Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson on Sunday defended Arkansas's ban on mask mandates. This goes into effect this week, just as the Delta variant surges across the state. Meantime, former White House spokesperson Sarah Sanders wrote an op-ed over the weekend. She says that she did get the vaccine, but the decision to get one is deeply personal. And ever loyal to her former boss, she referred to it as the Trump vaccine.
Yeah. Well, the Secretary of Commerce says a bipartisan infrastructure bill is very close to being passed. Gina Raimondo told CBS yesterday how business leaders are calling for everyone to have broadband, stressing roads and bridges also need to be upgraded. She says childcare is an important part of infrastructure as well, adding the bill will make it more affordable. Raimondo is also pushing for universal preschool.
All right, let's get an update on what's happening down in Florida with the condo building collapse and the sort of ramifications that are just reaching all sorts of different realms. The architect of that condo building was suspended for gross incompetency years earlier because of some of the other structural failures of his buildings. His name was William Friedman. He designed the Champlain Towers South building before it was built in 1981. He designed it in 1981. He was suspended for 6 months in 1967 after pylons on a sign that was on top of another building collapsed after a major hurricane. This is according to The Real Deal. The Florida Board of Architecture found that his pylons were insufficient and grossly inadequate. They didn't meet acceptable standards. The Real Deal, by the way, is a real estate publication, as far as I understand. And I guess Friedman had appealed the decision, but he ultimately lost. He died in 2008 at 88, and he began serving his suspension back on June 1st in 1967. I guess some might say it wasn't long enough.
Oregon is pleading for more help to battle wildfires. Governor Kate Brown told CNN they need more financial resources and more boots on the ground. She says the state is getting federal support as it deals with the nation's biggest blaze, which is nearing 410,000 acres and almost half contained. She blames the increase on fires on climate change and argues that prevention is key. She's promoted forest thinning and encouraged mitigation work.
Well, back here, a 28-year-old woman was sexually assaulted by a man outside of a Williamsburg building. It happened early Sunday morning on the steps of the building near North 10th Street and Roebling Street about 1 a.m. This is according to police. He's still on the loose, by the way. He apparently tossed the woman down the stairs. He sexually assaulted her and then stole her purse before running away on foot. About 12 hours later, he used the woman's credit cards at a CVS on 86th Street near Bay Parkway in Bensonhurst. The victim apparently also had cash and her ID cards in the bag stolen.
Mm. The U.S. softball team is digging deep to stay undefeated at the Tokyo Olympics. They scored in the sixth and seventh inning yesterday to beat Japan 2-1. Kelsey Stewart hit a walk-off homer and Monica Abbott picked up the win in relief. The teams will meet again tomorrow for the gold medal. Have you been watching any of the Olympics, Juliet?
I have not watched one single solitary moment of the Olympics, I have to admit.
Yeah, I haven't either. I had a friend over Saturday night, and he said, why don't we put it on? And I said, let's watch an American Dad rerun instead. But I did regret it. I read about some of the American showings, and I thought maybe I should be watching more, but apparently you and I are not the only ones. This is the lowest rated Summer Olympics in 33 years, since the Seoul Olympics, I believe. This is the lowest rated that we've seen in the last three decades.
Yeah. Now, what happened? I don't know. If you're not watching, you probably don't know. Maybe we'll find out in sports, but what happened to the American men's basketball team?
I don't know. And
I think they lost, if I'm not mistaken, to France. But maybe we'll find that out.
Yes, perhaps Molly will bring that to us when she does sports in just a minute. So I'm not sure. I'm embarrassed to say.
We're the worst. Oh, boy. Anyway, okay. Well, let's get to some other news, shall we? Let's see. Well, you had mentioned this just a little while ago on your show, and it's so sad. The Borscht Belt comic himself, Jackie Mason, has passed away. He was 93 years old. He died at Mount Sinai Hospital in Manhattan on Saturday. His wife and a few friends by his side, according to his longtime lawyer and his friend Raoul Felder, the famous lawyer. There's apparently going to be a small private funeral service, or there was, yesterday in New York. Of course, Felder said this, but he wasn't going to tell anybody where it was. And then there is supposed to be a larger public memorial service expected later. Are you going to be going to that, do you think?
I think I probably will. Yeah,
I might go with you.
I'm gonna reach out to Raoul today, and maybe he wants to come on the radio with us tomorrow, which would be fun, see what exactly the plans are. But yeah, I wouldn't call Jackie a friend, but we were certainly friendly, and I knew him a long time and was a big fan of his. And
he was actually a friend of my parents, believe it or not. From my parents, our days down living in Miami, and he was just a really great guy. So it's very sad, but I'd love to go to that public service.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty cool.
We'll go together.
He was born in Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
I know.
That just makes me laugh.
You know you're a funny comedian when even the town you were born in has a funny
name. Exactly.
All right. Well, let's get a look at sports with Molly Fichter.
Molly, do you have any idea what happened with the basketball team, the men's basketball team?
Fortunately, that is not something that I wrote into my script, but what I do have for you is a little bit of baseball from hitless to hopeless in Boston. The Yankees lose to the Red Sox once again. Yesterday, it was looking like a no-hitter for Domingo Germán up through the seventh inning until Alex Verdugo and the Red Sox exploded with 5 runs. The Yankees will be back on the field tomorrow to take on the Tampa Bay Rays at 7:10 p.m. The Mets, however, managed to squeeze out a win for their matchup with the Toronto Blue Jays. Rich Hill made his debut as a Met on the pitcher's mound. That trade happened just this Friday, but Hill has already proven himself to be an asset to the team. And up next for the Mets, a doubleheader with the Atlanta Braves starting tonight at 5:10 p.m. On to the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles made a big trade yesterday, signing Steven Nelson to a one-year contract. Nelson signs with the team just days before training camp is set to begin. The starting cornerback will be opposite Darius Slay, and the team desperately needed this trade. Nelson finished his 2020 season with the Pittsburgh Steelers with 48 tackles, 9 passes, passes defensed, 2 interceptions in the 15 games that he started as cornerback. And then over in Tokyo, medals are already being awarded. The 13-year-old Momji Nishia, that's a hard one, clinched the Olympic title in the women's street skateboarding competition on Monday, a newly added event. The teenager is the youngest medalist in the host country's history. As for the United States, our representative athletes have pulled in 10 medals this Sunday. The current U.S. medal count is 7 golds, 3 silvers, 4 bronzes, for a total of 14 medals. But there's plenty of more contests happening between now and August 8th when the games close. And thank you to Peerless Boilers for this Sid on Sports report. I'm Molly Fichter. Go to peerlessboilers.com for more on your hot water needs.
Well, I have the answer. We got off to a pretty rough start at the Olympics. France snapped Team USA's 25-game win streak in the first game of the group stage Sunday night, unfortunately.
Unbelievable.
Unfortunately.
517, Joe Nolan, are you watching any of these Olympics?
No, but how does that happen?
That's what nobody can figure out.
Well, I'm guessing that our team didn't take it too seriously and was probably out on the golf course instead of maybe on the practice course.
Can you imagine? That's as bad as what happened up in Boston. Oh, my gosh. What a miserable Yankee team. Just terrible. Set northbound on the Bruckner Boulevard, all lanes are closed at Country Club Road. Accident investigation, then further north on the New England Thruway, all lanes are closed at Country Club Road. Hutch both ways. Again, that is shut down, too, in Pelham at East 3rd Street. There's flooding. That probably won't be there too much longer. Southbound 109 at Passaic River Bridge. Again, this would be over in Newark. There's an accident investigation. As a result, all lanes are closed in Kearney at Central Avenue. And alternate side again today is in effect. This report of service of America's best contacts and eyeglasses. Don't overpay for glasses. Get two pairs and a free exam, $69.95. That's not just a better deal. It's America's best deal. Book your exam online today in certain states. Eye exams provided by independent ophthalmologists. See store for details. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Thank you very much, Joe. We have some more. I have some great trivia about Jackie Mason coming up, Frank. And also, in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, if you flew Southwest recently and you're not happy with them, well, they have something to say to you, and your favorite American towns for a long summer weekend. Actually, they're my favorite, actually. And so I'm going to tell you what they are in case you're thinking of maybe creating a little mini getaway for yourself over the summer. Frank, what are we going to be doing for your business report?
New home sales seen rising. I'll tell you how much and what it means. All right. You're listening to the WABC Early News, 20 minutes after 5. Julia, what's happening weather-wise?
Well, actually going to be pretty hot today. 91 degrees we're looking at. Cloudy skies early on. It'll clear up in the afternoon. Light winds, nothing too fancy. We are going to have some humidity, though, unfortunately. Tonight, we're going to get down to about 73 degrees. Tomorrow, now, this is interesting. Tomorrow, we're going to be 92 degrees. So we're jumping up just about 1 degree with lots of sun. But by Wednesday, we're going to be dropping down about 10 degrees to 81 degrees. That's going to be interesting to see that. I wonder why that is. And the humidity, unfortunately, will stay pretty consistent. I will have to say, I do have to tell you, Tuesday, so tomorrow, when we get that 92 degree marker with all that sun, the humidity will drop, which is actually quite pleasant. So it might not be as bad, feeling as bad as a 92-degree day would if it was very, very humid. But again, we drop down to 81 on Wednesday, 79 degrees on Thursday with scattered thunderstorms. And currently the temperature in Huntington on Long Island is 69 degrees.
All right. The opening bell rings this morning after Wall Street closed out a volatile week with new records. All three major indexes hit record closes Friday, with McDonald's and Visa helping boost the Dow above 35,000. Strong earnings from tech stocks also lifted markets for a fourth straight day. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 238 points, the S&P 500 added 44 points, and the NASDAQ gained 152 points. New home sales figures for June lead off the week's economic reports, and housing industry analysts expect to see some recovery from May's big decline. They're forecasting a 1.4% rise in sales last month to an annualized rate of 780,000 homes. New home sales fell nearly 6% in May. The numbers for June are due at 10 a.m. this morning, Juliet.
This story is so disgusting. I posted it on my Twitter because I'm just so sickened by these thugs, these little monsters. But an off-duty New York City firefighter was walking his dog in a Queens Park when he was attacked by a vicious mob of teenagers. The victim is 44 years old. He said he was just walking with his three-year-old Labradoodle Dylan in Juniper Valley Park in Middle Village, just, I mean, not too late, about 9:55 p.m. on Friday, when suddenly he was surrounded by what he says were like at least 100 kids. Said he was just walking his dog. They just picked me out. They approached me. He actually talked to the Post, but he wants to remain anonymous for understandable reasons. He said one kid just took his shirt off and said, "It's fight night." He said he was 19 years old and said, "I could fight you." Everybody started taking their phones out. They all came at him. And one kid hit him in the back of the head with a bottle. You can see this video footage. I mean, you can actually see it in this tweet that I posted out at Jets at Juliet. You can see the mob kind of closing in on him. And Dylan, the dog, barking, you know, trying to protect his master. Or I guess that's not appropriate to say anymore. Trying to protect his human parent. It just was really disgusting. Anyway, police confirmed to the Post that the victim was struck in the head with a glass bottle. Again, at 75th and Juniper, no arrests were made. I mean, these kids are on camera, so hopefully they will be arrested. And hopefully the book will be thrown at them. Jeez. But this is New York City, so yeah, maybe not.
A big tobacco CEO is calling for a ban on cigarettes in the United Kingdom. Jack Jacek-Olczyk of Philip Morris International made the comment to a British newspaper. He says that his company will stop selling cigarettes in the UK within a decade as part of their goal to become smoke-free. Philip Morris International is not part of Philip Morris USA, which makes Marlboro cigarettes in the United States.
Well, Frank, you know how much I love going overseas and
it's your walking thing. Jets at Juliet.
That's right. You know, one of the most fun moments that we had last trip to Italy was when we were walking after dinner, a late dinner, walking through Piazza Navona in Rome. And there was this little group of friends, and one of them was playing guitar. So John sat down and started, you know, riffing with him. And then there was a girl, she started singing, and it was just a really wonderful moment. And it's those kind of moments that the Nightlife Advisory Board of Manhattan is sort of pointing to as a reason for doing what they're doing, which is proposing that New Yorkers be free to openly drink in public areas. This is, again, according to a new proposal by the city's Nightlife Advisory Board, or the NAB. It was in a report issued last week, and it offered 15 recommendations on how to boost New York's nightlife, but at the same time, maintain good relationships between, you know, the nightlife folks and the neighbors. And so one of the suggestions was to take the party outside, you know, have people be allowed to gather in squares and parks and drink with friends and even dance to the rhythm of, quote, impromptu concerts. Of course, you know, you go over to Washington Square Park, you talk to people there. Perhaps they wouldn't be too pleased with that because, as we know, lawlessness there is rampant, public drinking, public urination, public fornicating, all sorts of things. So I'm not sure this is going to go over so well with the people of New York City.
I think you're exactly right. 527, a guy who has been known to do his fair share of public drinking from time to time is
and dancing the night away in public parks.
Well, that goes without saying, is the one and only Joe Nolan, who has traffic and transit on the sevens. How's it looking this morning, Joe? Joe?
What's
Joe was partying a little too much this weekend.
Maybe he's tired. Maybe from all the partying.
Yeah, it could be.
And dancing in public squares.
It could be.
No. I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, then tell us about the traffic.
My clock must be wrong. It seemed, I don't know. I got to figure it out.
Do you have 527, 24,
I do now. Yeah, I just
25,
hit reset on it.
26?
Yeah, I do now.
All right.
Hi, Joe.
And the clock was. I'm sorry.
Party boy.
No, actually, well, kind of, but not really.
Yeah. That's okay.
We were sitting down on the dock last night and had a couple of cocktails.
Of the bay.
Well, no, yeah, well, kind of too. Yeah.
What sort of cocktails were you having?
It's Barnegat Bay. I had a really nice Cabernet Sauvignon.
Oh, well, that's wine. That's not a cocktail.
Yeah, I know.
No, I mean, cocktails can be considered... Wine can be considered
No, cocktails. No. Cocktail has to have at least three ingredients.
When you say you're going out for cocktails, that could be wine.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, right? We'll put a pin in this discussion.
let's hear about the traffic.
Yeah.
Up Rector Boulevard northbound, all lanes are closed at Country Club Road. An accident investigation both ways on the Hutch. All lanes are closed at Pelham Parkway, which is East 3rd Street. There's some flooding there. BQE southbound at the Manhattan Bridge. A tractor-trailer car accident now on 280 eastbound by exit 9 now. Crash with two lanes out. Also, as you head southbound on 109, this would be on the truck route in Newark, west of the Passaic River Bridge. An accident investigation going on there. All lanes are closed at Central Avenue in Kearney. And now northbound on the drive at 106th Street, there's a crash. Two lanes are out. Mass Transit now is actually in pretty good shape. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations are going to be in effect today. This report is a service of America's Best Eyeglasses and Contacts. Don't overpay for glasses. Get two pairs and a free exam for just $69.95. That's not just a better deal. It's America's Best. Book your exam online today. In certain states, eye exams provided by independent ophthalmologists. See store for details. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7th. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Your favorite American towns for a long summer weekend. I've picked a few for you, just in case you're not interested in going out of the country. Stay local. Why not? That's coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update. But first, let's head over to the news desk for Deb's headlines. Hey, Deb.
Hey, morning, Julian. All right. Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has appointed Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois to serve on that January 6th committee who will investigate the riot at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Kinzinger and Liz Cheney voted in favor of impeaching former President Trump. Well, a chaotic standoff Sunday with a gunman in Wasco, California. It has left one Kern County Sheriff's deputy dead. That was confirmed by the mayor in that town overnight. A fatality in Queens. Police say a man was struck and killed while changing a tire overnight near the Long Island Expressway near the overpass for exit 23 in Flushing. His identity not yet released. Suffolk County police say excessive speed may have been a factor in that horrific crash on Saturday in which a vehicle crossed the double line, hitting another vehicle head on Montauk Highway in Quogue. Five people died in all. And jury selection starts August 9th in R. Kelly's sex trafficking case in Brooklyn. Well, health officials say new cases of COVID-19 are up all across the United States by some 51% just during the past week. 43,000 new daily cases reported. And Robert Parris Moses, the well-known civil rights activist, has died at the age of 86. And that's your 77-second WABC news update. Juliet will have your full forecast right now. It's Monday morning, folks. 74 fair skies. I'm Deborah Valentine.
The NLS Braille and Audio Reading Download, or BARD, web-based service and BARD mobile app give patrons the freedom to read their way, listen to their stories.
BARD is this beautiful web-based program for searching for books and for the ability to download them.
Now, this next step with BARD Mobile has just been a tremendous innovation.
It's a great way to have a book with you without carrying a book.
Wherever I go, BARD Mobile, the library services is with me.
When you discover you have an impairment, it can change your life. So take a little time to find the resources that are going to help you restore what you've lost.
For more information about the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped Library of Congress, visit loc.gov/thatallmayread or call 1-888-NLS-READ.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Welcome back, everybody, to the WABC Early News. I'm Juliet Huddy, along with Frank Morano. I was so riveted by my On This Day list. Frank, today is July 26th.
Ooh.
On this day, back in 1519, Francisco Pizarro receives the royal charter for the west coast of South America, and then a few years later, he ordered the death of the last Sapa Inca emperor, Atahualpa. Atahualpa.
Well, on this day in 1775, the Second Continental Congress of the United States established the postal system.
Oh, well, well, well. How nice. That's wonderful. Well, on this day, in 1579, Francis Drake left San Francisco to cross the Pacific Ocean.
On this day in 1947, the National Security Council was established.
Well, in 1609, the mathematician from England, Thomas Harriot, he was the first person to draw a map of the moon by looking through a telescope.
Well,
that's a weird one to me.
Yeah. Well, on this day in 1990, President Bush signed the Americans with Disability Act, which bars discriminating against people with physical or mental disabilities.
Well, that is very nice. In 1755, Giacomo Casanova was arrested in My Beautiful Venice for affront to religion and common decency, and he was imprisoned in the Doge's Palace, which is right there in St. Mark's Square, where he escaped not long after. But the interesting thing about this is, if you ever go to Venice, you've heard of the Bridge of Sighs, right?
Yeah.
That's the bridge that connects the Doge's Palace to the prison. And they say that when they would take the prisoners from the Doge's Palace after they were convicted, they would look out these little windows of on the bridge, which was an enclosed bridge, and they would sigh because it was the last time they were ever going to be seeing their beautiful Venetian lagoon, at least for a while.
Hmm. Yes. Well, on this day in 1991, Pee Wee Herman actor Paul Rubens was arrested for exposing himself twice during a movie in a Florida theater.
I remember that.
As do I.
I remember that very well. Well, we will get to more on this day's tomorrow, unless you have some other ones you'd like.
No, that's about, I mean, you can't top Pee Wee.
It's very true. Okay, let's get back to some news. All of this stuff is caught on video, so I don't know why these thugs, these cretins think that they're going to get away with this stuff. But a mugger beat up a 68-year-old man. It happened in broad daylight in Brooklyn Saturday morning. I mean, just literally, you cannot walk around the city. It's just horrifying. This is a 17-second clip. It was tweeted out by the NYPD on Sunday, so if you follow their Twitter account, you've probably seen it. It shows this guy in all gray, basically wearing like a gray sweatsuit, I guess, punching the 68-year-old a bunch of times, maybe about 10 times, after the guy had already been forced down to the ground. I think he kicks him, and then the guy is at this point unconscious. The thief robs him, turns the guys over to grab, stuff out of his pockets, his wallet, and so forth. It just was a horrible story. He was approached by the suspect who was riding a city bike, actually, which is interesting. That's a good little hint here, on Pitkin Avenue and Barbie Street. So cops say when the victim didn't oblige and the mugger tried, to get him to give him money, he attacked. And apparently the 68-year-old suffered a broken wrist and nose in the beatdown.
The former host of Reading Rainbow and one of the stars of Star Trek The Next Generation is getting his turn at the podium on Jeopardy. LeVar Burton will be taking over after Good Morning America anchor Robin Roberts hosted last week. Each guest donates to an organization in an amount equal to the contestant's cash prize. Burton has chosen the charity Reading is Fundamental. He's been pushing to become the game show's permanent host. So we'll see how he does tonight.
I love this guy.
As do I. I've been a fan of his for many years, and I think he's actually pretty perfect for the job. So we'll see. I mean, the worst thing he has going for him is that everyone is expecting him to do well. So it's tough when you have those kind of expectations to exceed them.
Exactly. Well, we don't have a lot of expectations for this next guest of ours.
If he shows up and gives us the traffic, expectations will be exceeded at 5:37.
On northbound Bruckner Boulevard, all lanes are closed at Country Club Road. That accident investigation, that continues both ways on the Hutch. Up in Bellamy, East 3rd, again, that flooding. That should be going down, though, by now. That should be pretty much out of the way shortly. BQE southbound Manhattan Bridge, this is a new one, a tractor-trailer accident, so that's causing issues, obviously. Northbound on the drive at 106th Street, there's a crash. Two lanes are out. A new one on 280 eastbound coming into exit 9, an accident again. Two lanes out of service. And then as you travel southbound on 1 and 9 west of the Passaic River Bridge in Newark, an accident investigation. Mass transit looks to be pretty good. An alternate side once again today is in effect with traffic on the 7s. I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. We're going to take a quick break, but before we do, I just want to tell you, Frank's got his business report. Now, this is going to be a humdinger. It's a humdinger, I'm telling you. Isn't it, Frank?
You better believe it is.
Yeah. What are we going to be talking about?
We are going to be
tell the nice folks.
Infrastructure. We're going to be talking about infrastructure. The whole country is going to be talking about infrastructure, and I will tell you what they're going to be saying.
Well, that's wonderful, and that's coming up right after the break. But first, I want to tell you, in your Jet Set Juliet travel update coming up at 5:40, if you're thinking about traveling, you're not interested in traveling overseas or maybe, you know, down to the Caribbean or Mexico because of the rising COVID numbers, I have some suggestions about places near and dear to my heart that I think that you should maybe consider.
5:40, the opening bell rings this morning after Wall Street closed out a volatile week with new records. All three major indexes hit record closes Friday, with McDonald's and Visa helping boost the Dow above 35,000. Strong earnings from tech stocks also lifted markets for a fourth straight day. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial rose 238 points. The S&P 500 added 44 points. And the NASDAQ gained 152 points. As we stand here now, Dow futures are actually down about 142 points for the implied open. We'll keep an eye on that. As promised, Virginia Senator Mark Warner says there should be a draft of the infrastructure bill for lawmakers to look at today. Speaking on Fox News Sunday, the Democrat said the government is investing in infrastructure at half the rate we were in the 90s. He says the same bipartisan group of 10 senators that came to an agreement on the last COVID bill is the same group working on the infrastructure deal. Warner added, this bill will help us to grow the economy. He says the bill includes money for more school buses and wants them to be made in America. It also includes money for expanded broadband access. Warner pointed out that the cost of the bill will be spread out over several years. Juliet.
Thank you very much. It is now time for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jet Set Juliet. If you were one of the millions of people who flew Southwest recently, chances are you were delayed or maybe even your flight was canceled. The company announced that it is struggling. It admitted that as travel bounced back faster than expected. Southwest's on-time performance in June was just 62.4%. This is according to USA Today. And in July, it's just 67%. So that means lots of delays, unfortunately. Southwest is saying it's not really a matter of not having the right staff, you know, or the appropriate number of staff, but instead it's being caught short when the pent-up demand for travel exploded sooner than expected. So I guess ultimately it's kind of good news because travel has exploded and Southwest just wasn't braced for it. All right. With the rising COVID Delta cases, a lot of Americans are choosing to hold on to international travel for the time being and instead just stay local. But what if you're looking for something a little bit more exotic or just unique, you know, not American? Well, unfortunately, if you don't want to travel internationally, you're going to have a problem with that. Actually, that's not so true because there are places, my favorite American towns for a long weekend jaunt, that are a little bit different. They have something unusual about them, something that just makes them really, really special. Let's start. If you're a rock music lover, especially, but if you're a music lover, period, Austin, Texas really should be on your summer itinerary. Yes, it is hot this time of year. It's ideal to go to Austin in like March when they have the South by Southwest festival or in the fall. But the cool thing about Austin is that there are so many lakes and crystal clear swimming holes to cool yourself off by day. The city also has a really intense food and craft beer scene. So you can eat, drink and be merry while you're rocking out to the latest ingenues and up and comers on the very, very cool downtown scene there. Now, if you're more interested in the mountains, you're more of like a granola type or just an active type, head out to Breckenridge, Colorado. Frank, have you ever been to Breckenridge?
I don't think so. I was in Colorado once many years ago, briefly. I don't remember much of it.
Well, they call it Breck. Well, at least the locals do. It's an old mining town, and it's got that kind of old Colorado Western mystique to it. And it's much more laid back than its ritzy neighbors, Aspen and Vail. So this is another great craft beer town. So after you wrap up your trek through the trails of the Rockies, you can just head into the cute downtown area for brews and sing-alongs at the local pub. Breckenridge is wonderful during the Christmas holidays. It's all decked out. It's like a little winter wonderland, and it's very charming. The town itself is very charming, and everything is just right there. I just really love this town, but I do think it's a great place to go for the summer for active types. Now, if Colorado is a little bit too far, stay East Coast bound and just head down to Charleston, South Carolina. I mean, if you haven't been to Charleston, you're really missing out, because you've got the beautiful row houses that date back to the 1700s. You have the quaint horse-drawn carriage rides. I mean, it really is like the essence of true Americana. I love the history surrounding the area. It's fascinating. Plus, you're right on the water. So you've got boating and swimming and beaches and golf and all that stuff. But the real attraction here is the cuisine. Charleston has literally become home to some of the top restaurants in the country. And when I did my top restaurants list last week, Charleston had several on the top of the list. I mean, they're really, really unbelievable. And it's just a cool place. It's kind of a more hip vibe than typical southern towns. Next town, I really love this place. I got familiar with it back in the late 2000s. Healdsburg, California. It's a tiny little village in wine country, not Napa Valley, but Sonoma. It's an hour's drive north of San Francisco. And I'm going to tell you about that and a couple other places that I love on my Jet Set Juliet Instagram and Twitter later today.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Juliet is a must follow. She is on Twitter and Instagram at Jet Set Juliet.
Thank you.
One T in Juliet, right?
Thank you. Correct. Yes.
All right. Well, two L's in Molly, as in Molly Fichter, who is sitting in for Sid Rosenberg, bringing us the sports this morning, Molly.
Good morning, Frank and Juliet. We're going to start with baseball. From hitless to hopeless in Boston, the Yankees lose to the Red Sox once again. Yesterday, it was looking like a no-hitter for Domingo Herman as he stepped up to the pitcher's mound and up until the seventh inning when Alex Verdugo and the Red Sox exploded with five runs. The Yankees will be back on the field tomorrow to take on Tampa Bay and the Rays at 7:10 p.m. The Mets managed to squeeze out a win of their matchup with Toronto Blue Jays. Rich Hill made his debut at the Mets pitcher mound. That trade happened just this Friday, and Hill has already proven himself an asset to the team. And up next for the Mets is a doubleheader with the Atlanta Braves starting at 5:10 this evening. On to the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles made a big trade yesterday, signing Steven Nelson to a one-year contract Sunday. Nelson signs with the team just days before training camp is set to begin, becoming the starting cornerback opposite Darius Slay. The team desperately needed this trade. Nelson finished his 2020 season with the Pittsburgh Steelers with 48 tackles, 9 passes defensed, and 2 interceptions in the 15 games he started as cornerback. Then over in Tokyo, the medals are already being awarded. 13-year-old Momji Nishiya clinched the Olympic title in the first ever women's skateboarding competition on Monday, a newly added event. The teenager is the youngest medalist in the host country's history. As for the United States, our representative athletes pulled in 10 medals for us Sunday. The current U.S. medal count is gold, 7, silver, 3, 4 bronze, and that is 14 total medals for the U.S., but there is still many action to happen up until August 8th. This has been your Sid on Sports Report from Peerless Boilers. Thank you, Peerless Boilers. Go to peerlessboilers.com for more information.
547. Thank you, Molly. Let's check in with Joe Nolan. Hello there, Joe. How's the traffic looking?
Good morning, Frank. It's a busy, busy, busy morning. Juliet, a lot going on. Bruckner Boulevard northbound. All lanes are closed right around Country Club Road. Accident investigation. That'll continue. Apparently, there's a bicycle involved in that. If you're on 280 eastbound at exit 9, accident, two lanes are out. Again, we continue to have that accident investigation as well. Southbound 1 and 9 west of the Passaic River Bridge. That's still there. Now, on the drive northbound at 106th Street, an accident with two lanes out. Inbound LIE, the ramp to the Cross Island. There's a crash there. They are working on that one. Now, Mass Transit just checked everybody. They are all running on or close to schedule. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations once again today are going to be in effect. And this report is a service of Indeed.com. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic. That's twice in a week. I've almost done that. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the Savage Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joseph. We have some more content to give you guys. I have some royal updates. Frank, I know that you've missed my royal updates over the weekend. Yes. Don't cry. I've got one for you right now. Actually, I have a couple for you right now. So Meghan and Harry, as you know, they had their second child, their daughter Lilibet. And she is, as a daughter of the of one of the princes, she is part of the royal line of succession. However, you wouldn't know it by looking at the royal line of succession, the official royal line of succession, because she hasn't been included and she's already 7 weeks old. So some are questioning why, and others, of course, the cynics are saying, well, it's because she is related to Meghan Markle. The royal family is not pleased with Meghan, nor are they pleased with Prince Harry. The official website still lists Prince Andrew as eighth in line, 7 weeks after Lilibet should have been put in line. And one other quick royal update, Frank. I don't know if you follow anything having to do with Diana, Princess Diana, but I follow everything about her. And her 30-year-old niece, Lady Kitty Spencer, has gotten married. She's 30. Her husband, who is a billionaire, is 62. Yes, the two have been together for a long time, though. They exchanged vows at the Villa Aldobrandini in Rome on Saturday. The bride wore five different Dolce & Gabbana gowns. She has modeled for the designer since 2017, and so she decided to just choose all of the beautiful gowns that she wore at different points over the weekend, choose to have them by Dolce & Gabbana. It was a long lace sleeve creation that was the actual wedding gown itself. Absolutely beautiful. She is, Lady Kitty is the daughter of Diana's younger brother, Charles, Earl Spencer. And her first cousins are Prince William and Prince Harry. But I guess they didn't go to the event, nor did her dad, apparently. But Lady Kitty has always been very private about her personal life. She gave an interview in May with Town & Country where they tried to get some info out of her. And she says her romantic relationship has nothing to do with anyone else. So mind your own business.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thank you for that royal update.
You are so welcome, Frank.
Late Christian evangelist Billy Graham's grandson is in a tough fight with COVID-19. Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, announced yesterday that her son and Reverend Graham's grandson, Jonathan Lotz, is in critical condition. Jonathan grew up in North Carolina, where his mother founded Angel Ministries. She's asking for prayers as Jonathan receives treatment in the ICU.
Wow. I want. How old is he?
I'm not sure how old he is. I would guess he's in his early 30s.
Wow. Unbelievable. Well, also unbelievable is this next story. A steroid the size of the Giza pyramids is going to make a quote-unquote close pass by the Earth at a speed of 18,000 miles
per
hour.
Did you say steroid?
An asteroid.
Oh, an asteroid. I was going to say.
Maybe did I say steroid?
I thought you did. I mean, did maybe we're just so conditioned by Sid Rosenberg's pro-steroid
maybe I did
commentary.
Say steroid.
I think you did, honestly.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical. Well, I don't know about a steroid being the size of a Giza pyramid, but if there was one, Sid would have
that's
it.
That's for sure.
An asteroid the size of the Giza pyramids. It's between 318 to 720 feet in length. I guess it's going to pass by Earth again as it travels like 18,000 miles an hour. It's going to come as close as 2.8 million miles. So close is sort of a, you know, It's an operative word here. I mean, you could say close, but it's really incredibly far away. But close in terms of the universe, I guess. It's in NASA's Near-Earth Apollo designation. And its orbit could change, though, due to the gravitational pull of planets, but that wouldn't be a concern for this year.
President Biden meets with Iraqi Prime Minister Mustafa al-Kadhimi at the White House today. The sit-down comes as reports circulate that the two nations may soon announce the withdrawal of U.S. combat troops by the end of the year. There are still around 2,500 troops stationed there working on training Iraqis and counterterrorism.
Well, this is a Jet Set Juliet kind of story, but not really the one that I would want to include in my regular Jet Set travel update. A Texas firefighter was found dead by his family, and they believe that he was kidnapped. They were staying at a Mexican resort on vacation to celebrate their wedding anniversary. His name is Elijah Snow. He was a firefighter in Arlington, Texas. He had gone there with his wife, Jamie, to an inclusive, all-inclusive resort in the tourist destination, as you know, of Cancun. I mean, this is a really popular area. So the couple goes and has drinks at the hotel bar on their first night. But at some point in the evening, the wife decides to go back to their room. She wakes up at 4 a.m. She's like, wait, why is he not here? She goes to search for him, and she was told at that point that he had been found dead. Now, officials down in Mexico say that his body was discovered stuck in the bathroom window of a hotel in the Benito, the Benito Juarez district. They say that the death appeared to be an accident and there were no signs of violence, but Snow's family has hired an attorney who has obtained crime scene photos that show bruises on most of his body. The family believes that he was kidnapped and he was beaten before he was killed. Isn't that insane?
That is for sure.
I mean, his body was found in the bathroom window, so he was trying to escape. Just something's not right here.
Yeah, no,
And the thing is that officials there, as I can tell you from various times that I've visited, are corrupt. And so they definitely don't want this information getting out if it is a murder, because it turns off tourists, obviously. And this is the kind of place where you've got a lot of these corrupt officials that are going to be trying to hide it.
That is
crazy.
That is crazy, and that is wild. All right, we're going to get you traffic and transit on the sevens in just a minute. But civil rights icon Emmett Till's childhood home in Chicago is being honored as a historic landmark. The home in the West Woodlawn neighborhood got a historic landmark plaque yesterday on what would have been Till's 80th birthday. The plaque recognizes Till and his mother as key figures in the civil rights movement. The home was bought by a nonprofit who plans to convert it into a museum and community theater. Till was living in the house in 1955 when he was lynched in Mississippi at the age of 14 after being accused of whistling at a white woman at a grocery store.
On that note, let's get to traffic and all of that information on the sevens with our guy, Joe Nolan, who has his traffic report right now. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Julianne. Hello, everybody. And again, Bruckner Boulevard northbound remains closed at Country Club Road. That accident investigation still there, still in the process of being cleared up and out of the way. Now, if you're heading out onto the FDR Drive, there was an earlier issue getting up towards 106th Street. Still some delays left over from that. Inbound Long Island Expressway, the ramp to the Cross Island. Look for an accident at that spot. You're also having some problems now as you travel south on the BQE. Another accident right around the Manhattan Bridge. 280 eastbound in New Jersey by exit 9, there was a crash, two lanes out, and alternate sign again today is in effect. This report is service of Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted in 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more, discover.com/yes. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
5:58 back here on the WABC early news coming up after the top of the hour and 77 seconds of news courtesy of Deb Valentine. We'll explore who gets to be called an astronaut these days. The answer is a bit more complicated than you probably realize. And there is a city that is considering $20,000 trash cans. We'll tell you about that.
Oh, it must be a very fancy city. Oh, is it somewhere? Is it Monte Carlo?
I'll tell you. Don't rush.
Well, let me just give you a quick weather update from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. We're looking at cloudy skies early, then it'll clear this afternoon. We'll have a high of 91 degrees with light winds and a pretty decent amount of humidity, unfortunately. Tonight, mostly clear skies with a low of 43. Holy moly. Tomorrow, we're inching up just a little bit to 92 degrees, lots of sun and low humidity, which actually kind of makes it bearable. Tomorrow night, a few clouds, low around 70. And then Wednesday, the temperature drops down about 10 degrees to 81 degrees. We'll have clouds and sunshine, maybe a stray shower or a thunderstorm possible. And Wednesday night, a few clouds from time to time, a low near 70 degrees. And we are currently in New York City, 74 degrees.
All right, here's Jeff Valentine, who's got 77 seconds of news.
Red Apple Media is proud to celebrate 100 years as one of America's most influential radio stations and New York's first. WABC. And WLIR-FM, Hampton Bays. From around the world to around the block, this is a WABC 77 Second News Update.
I'm Deborah Valentine. A police standoff in Wasco, California on Sunday. One sheriff's deputy is reported dead. Another hospitalized. A suspect also shot and taken into custody. Well, the biggest criminal trial in Vatican history will open tomorrow. A once powerful cardinal, nine other people accused of mishandling millions of dollars. Five people killed in a head-on crash Saturday out on Long Island. Suffolk County police say a Nissan Maxima crossed the double yellow line, slamming into a second vehicle. They think that excessive speed may be a factor in that fatality, which left five dead. Well, New York State's legislature plans to hold a hearing on why $2 billion in the state's rent relief program for both landlords and tenants during COVID has not yet been rolled out. Just $117,000 has been allocated. And a four-year-old child hospitalized in critical condition following a fall from a 10th-floor balcony. It happened Sunday in the Noble Avenue block, 1500 area in Van Nuys, just before 2:30 p.m. Robert Parris Moses, the civil rights activist, has died at the age of 86. And that's your 77-second WABC News update. Juliet will have your full forecast. I'm Deborah Valentine.
For your morning, all the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Happy Monday. Hopefully you had a nice weekend and got a chance to get some rest. Welcome to the WABC Early News.
Can you tell it's a Monday? I can certainly tell it's a Monday.
You and me both. I'm Frank Morano.
I'm Juliet Huddy. Yeah, I hope everybody had a nice weekend. I'm trying to think of what I did this weekend. It's like, I swear I don't remember 5 minutes ago these days. It's kind of frightening.
Believe me. It could be in part because of the copious amounts of bourbon I consumed on Saturday.
Oh, that's probably why I couldn't remember Saturday, because my friend Jen, I haven't seen her since the pandemic started. A year and a half ago, and she came out to hang out with my husband and me and our neighbor Ned. We went to a wonderful French restaurant called Cassis in Huntington. Fantastic place. Mm. Just delicious food. We always are kind of, I don't know, hesitant about going to French bistros here in the States, because oftentimes they're just sort of, they have the names, the French names of the food, but it's not quite done the way it should be done. But this was just legit. Loved it.
I mean, it's great that you got together with Jen and have still not given Joe Nolan the Westfield pizza.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
yes, I did.
I was not informed.
I said, well, I did. I sent it to both of you.
Oh,
I thought.
Well, I didn't receive it, but that's okay.
We're doing it Friday the 13th.
Oh, okay. You know, I'm actually at Michael's in Brooklyn that night.
Well, then so, I guess I mean, we're not doing it.
No,
Friday,
well, you guys can go ahead and do it on your
no,
own.
No, I mean, I said he gave us three dates, and you said the Fridays are good, and so I said Friday the 13th.
All right. Well, I will. I will negotiate with you guys privately.
That's fine. We really don't have to hash this out on the air.
All right, exactly.
So
yeah,
everybody
that's
knows.
What I just said. I'll negotiate with you guys privately off air. All right. Two quick programming advisories. One, Sid Rosenberg is off today, but we are treated to the wit and wisdom of former Congressman Peter King, who is sitting in for Sid Rosenberg, and he will join us at 6:20 to give us a preview of some of the things that he will be talking about.
And I love Peter King. Oh, back in my days as a Fox and Friends, or I was a big, huge Peter King fan. I was happy every time he came on the show.
I still am. And I've been enjoying listening to him on the radio. He's a regular participant to the Cats at Night show, and he always adds like a dose of common sense to whatever
yes.
the discussion.
Well, that's exactly what I felt when I was – you know, back in the early 2000s, mid 2000s. And I said the same thing. You know, he's reasonable. He's a reasonable guy.
Yep. No, that's very true. And the other programming note that is related to the Bernie and Sid show, I will be at 9:40 making my debut in the Beat Bernie contest to see if I have what it takes to beat the smartest man on radio in a battle of five questions.
You know, I beat him.
I'm aware of that.
And yeah, I don't see myself getting asked to be on the show anymore.
Well, I think you actually were included on that email.
Well, I think that they should probably reach out because I don't think that they met somebody who's already been on. Well, they really wanted me.
We'll negotiate on that.
Okay, let's get to some news, shall we? Let's talk about Dr. Anthony Fauci. He was on Jake Tapper's show on Sunday on CNN. He was echoing again the dark days before the pandemic even hit. And before the second wave hit, he told Tapper that the country is heading in the wrong direction. And he was responding to a question about a model that predicts that we're on our way to another 4,000 COVID deaths a day. But the good doctor says we have the tools to blunt the skyrocketing infections, the vaccines. He says you've got to get a vaccine. He was also asked whether health officials would revise mask guidelines for vaccinated Americans. He said, look, it's under active consideration, but it's up to the local authorities to make that call. The 7-day average of new COVID cases in the U.S. was up 53% from the previous week, according to the CDC. That is not good.
Mm. No, I should say not. All right. Well, we've been telling you about all the things that are happening in space. There are many things you can call Jeff Bezos, billionaire, visionary, entrepreneur, space cowboy, but astronaut isn't officially one of them. That's because the FAA recently tightened its rules. Commercial launch crew members must be employed by an FAA-certified company performing the launch. They must reach an altitude higher than 50 miles above the surface of the Earth during the flight, and they must have demonstrated activities during the mission that were essential to public safety or contributed to human spaceflight safety. By those criteria, Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson don't make the cut. So under the new rules, space tourists who pay for flights are not eligible to receive their astronaut wings.
Well, we had mentioned this. You had mentioned this in The Other Side of Midnight. We talked about it at the beginning of the 5 o'clock hour. But the famed Borscht Belt comedian Jackie Mason has passed away. He died at Mount Sinai Hospital in Manhattan on Sunday with his wife and a few friends by his side, according to his longtime friend and lawyer, Raoul Felder. There was a small service held on Sunday in New York, and there will be a larger public memorial service at a later date, according to Felder. I didn't know this. I mean, I actually did remember hearing this when I finally read it, but I wasn't thinking about it. But he was one of the Queen Mother's, the late Queen Mother's favorite comedians. And also Prince Charles loves this guy. Yeah, and he actually performed for the royals frequently. But after one performance for the Queen Mother, at the end of the performance, the whole cast lined up and they waited and they bowed when one of the members of the royal family came over. But Jackie was like, I'm not bowing, whatever. And so he just left. Wow. He didn't wait for the Queen Mother. And that was the big story. He walked out on the Queen Mom. So he ended up inventing a story that he couldn't stay there because he wasn't feeling well, apparently, according to Felder.
Joe Nolan, were you a Jackie Mason fan?
I love Jackie Mason.
Yeah.
He was so great. He really was.
He was absolutely hilarious.
Well, then, how's the traffic looking?
Well, if you're on the
well, then, how's the traffic looking?
All right. Northbound on the drive at 106th Street. Accident left lane. That's over to the left. You got to get over the right as you head northbound on the drive. BQE southbound at the Manhattan Bridge. There's a crash with one lane out. Bronxbound Whitestone Bridge is stalled. Again, one lane out of service there. Now, if you're on the Jersey Turnpike, or rather on 287 coming down to the Jersey Turnpike, an accident. Three lanes are out. There's a motorcycle involved in this, and it looks like there's going to have to be an accident investigation by the New Jersey State Police. So as you head southbound there, that could be a while. And then southbound 1 and 9, the truck route, all lanes are shut down at Central Avenue and Kearney with a crash. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations are in effect. Mass transit, good. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. I tweeted this out, this story out on my Twitter at Jet Set Juliet, because it was just so upsetting. I was so mad. I started to cry, but there's a happy ending here. A Texas man was busted for abandoning a dog on the side of the road last week. It was so heartbreaking to watch this. But it was all caught on camera. It was caught on a witness's camera who realized what was going on here. The 68-year-old suspect was busted 2 days later. He is charged with animal cruelty for leaving this beautiful husky, gorgeous, gorgeous dog, just taking him out of the car, plopping him on the side of a road in the middle of nowhere and getting back in the car and driving away. And the husky starts running after the car. I mean, I literally could start crying right now. It was horrible. Mm. How anybody could do this, you've got to just think they're just an awful human being. But anyway, he's busted. Less than one day after the husky was abandoned, new owners adopted him, and he is, according to the new owner telling, I think it was the Dallas station, the new owner says, "I think he's doing us an act of kindness by completing our family, and he's not lost anymore." So thank goodness.
Absolutely. Well,
I just makes my blood boil.
Yeah, same here. San Francisco is known for many things, great wine, a lot of culture. Now it is known as the city with $20,000 trash cans. San Francisco is considering spending big money for this better trash can. Officials will consider 15 prototypes at a price tag of $12,000 to $20,000 each. They're trying to build a trash can that doesn't spill over when it gets full and will keep people from searching through them. If they pick a design, they hope to build it on a mass scale for a couple of $1,000 each.
Well, back here, a Long Island mom and her 10-year-old daughter were killed. They were the victims of a horrible car crash involving a drunk driver. Happened Saturday near JFK. Isabella Grenobles of Copeg and her mom, Diana Grenobles, were killed in the collision at Rockaway Boulevard and Guy R. Brewer Boulevard. They were hit in their Chevy Cruze by a guy named Tyrone Absalom, 42-year-old. He's facing charges of manslaughter, criminally negligent homicide, assault, and driving while intoxicated, according to the NYPD. He lives in Jamaica, Queens. He was apparently speeding at the time, according to the cops. Also in his car was a 38-year-old woman in the passenger seat, and in the back, a 12-year-old boy and a 16-year-old girl.
All right. We'll have a lot more headlines coming your way in just a minute, along with traffic and transit on the sevens and an exclusive preview of the Bernie and Sid show with the one and only Peter King. We'll be back with more of the early news in mere moments.
Research shows that people remember radio ads with a booming voice that emphasizes all the main points. So to help you remember that Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
That part is super important.
Here's one with a booming voice.
I'm emphasizing everything.
Liberty Mutual customizes your home insurance.
Like a page with every word highlighted.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Attorney Joe Cordell.
For many men, divorce brings a bewildering sense of loss. You feel adrift, isolated, like you're the only person in the world. But the good news is, you're not alone. Cordell & Cordell is here to help. For more than 30 years, Cordell & Cordell has been there to guide men through all aspects of divorce. And we'll be there for you.
Online at CordellCordell.com. Call 866-DADS-LAW. 100 Great Oaks Boulevard, Suite 110, Albany, New York, 12203.
The news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
A raccoon in New York's Rockland County got a helping hand when its head got stuck in a tin can Sunday morning. Town of Ramapo Police Department took to Facebook, sharing the video of responding officers chasing the animal around a house in Pomona. The officer could be seen catching the raccoon by the tail a couple of times and trying to remove the can, which refused to budge. It was after about a two-minute struggle with the can and the raccoon that the officer was able to remove its head and let the animal go.
Aw. An off-duty New York City firefighter was just walking his dog when he says a group of about 100 kids going crazy, high as a kite, started to surround him and then started attacking him. This is just an awful story. The 44-year-old victim said that he was just walking with his 3-year-old Labradoodle Dylan in Juniper Valley Park in Middle Village around 9:55 p.m. on Friday when this mob just started to target him for no apparent reason. The victim said they didn't care. They were just going crazy. And he says, thankfully, there was an ambulance that was parked nearby and it pulled up and that's what dispersed the kids. And police on Saturday confirmed to the New York Post that the victim was struck in the head with a glass bottle and that the ambulance came along and helped him out, thankfully.
All right, sports at 6:15. Here is Molly Fichter.
Thank you, Frank. We'll start off with baseball from hitless to hopeless in Boston. The Yankees lose to the Red Sox once again. Yesterday, it was looking like a no-hitter for Domingo Germán as he stepped up to the pitcher's mound until the seventh inning when Alex Verdugo and the Red Sox exploded with 5 runs. The Yankees will be back on the field tomorrow to take on the Tampa Bay Rays at 7:10. The Mets managed to squeeze out a win in their matchup against the Toronto Blue Jays. Rich Hill made his debut as a Met on the pitcher's mound. That trade happened just this Friday, but Hill has already proven himself an asset to the team. And up next for the Mets is a doubleheader with the Atlanta Braves starting at 5:10 this evening. On to the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles made a big trade over the weekend, signing Steven Nelson to a 1-year contract Sunday. Nelson signs with the team just days before training camp is set to begin, becoming the starting cornerback opposite Darius Slay. The team desperately needed this trade. Nelson finished his 2020 season with the Pittsburgh Steelers with 48 tackles, 9 passes defensed, 2 interceptions, and that's all in the 15 games he started there. Over in Tokyo, medals are already being awarded. 13-year-old Mamje Nishiya clinched the Olympic title for women's street skateboarding this Monday. That is a newly added event. The teenager is the youngest medalist in the host country's history. As for the United States, it's been a slow start, even rough start, considering the U.S. basketball upset to France. As for the medals, though, we've managed to pull in 10 this Sunday, bringing our total medal count up to 14. That includes 7 golds. That is it for your Sit on Sports report. I'm Molly, filling in. Thank you, Peerless Boilers, for sponsoring. PeerlessBoilers.com for more information.
6:17. Joe Nolan, how is my ride back to Staten Island looking this morning?
Actually, pretty good. You shouldn't have really any problem at all. Right, at least right now, it isn't all that bad. Now, if you're traveling in New Jersey, this is turning into a big deal now. Southbound on 287, right at the New Jersey Turnpike, there is a motorcycle accident. Unfortunately, there is a fatality. Only the left lane is open. The ramp to the turnpike is open as well. But you're backed up already to Route 1, and that is going to start to back up big time. Southbound on 287 here on a Monday morning. Now, if you're on Bruckner Boulevard, northbound, all lanes are closed. Country Club Road, an accident investigation there. Northbound on the drive at 106th Street, there's a crash in the left lane. Now, we do have problems on the subways. The 2 and the 5 are going to have some delays. The 2 is on the 5 from 149 to Nevin Street. Also, there are delays on the number 3 line. And again, all this because of a pedestrian accident at 116th Street. And alternate side again today is in effect. This report is a service of Indeed.com. Take a shortcut to your next great hire. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, Instantly Match immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you very much, Joe. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at a very warm day, 91 degrees with high humidity and cloudy skies early, probably clearing up this afternoon for a nicer day, although probably a hotter day. Tonight, mostly clear skies, a low of 73. Tomorrow, we inch up about a degree to 92 degrees with lots of sun and low humidity. Tomorrow night, 70 degrees is the low. And Wednesday, we're going to jump down to 81 degrees with clouds and sunshine, kind of a mix of both, with a stray shower or thunderstorm possible. And on Thursday, we're looking at partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms and a high of 79 degrees. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 74 degrees, Frank.
All right. Well, stocks are starting the week after ending another record high. The S&P 500 added 44 points. The NASDAQ gained 152 points. And the Dow Jones Industrial rose 238 points to finish above 35,000. And finally, since masks are starting to come off, more people are deciding to put makeup back on. That's where Klarna's 2021 Reopening Insights report found in its survey of more than 6,000 shoppers ages 18 and up in June of 2021. Nearly 3 out of 4 shoppers said they plan to spend more on makeup as they discard their masks. The report noted that with opportunities for social gatherings, nearly 75% of shoppers plan to spend more money on makeup than they did during the lockdown. Someone who is spending a ton of money on makeup is the gentleman that's in for Sid Rosenberg today, the inimitable former Congressman Peter King. Hello, Congressman.
Frank, it's great to be here. Yeah, the makeup I'm using is to make my head look bald so I can make it look like Sid Rosenberg.
Say that again because I missed out on the microphone.
I said the reason I'm using makeup is just to put it on the top of my head to make believe I'm bald like Sid Rosenberg.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, you are familiar with makeup because you used to come on Fox all the time and they would have you go into hair and makeup, of course.
Yeah, but I also saw how beautiful you looked with your makeup on, Juliet. So
that's the only reason I could because I had to slop it on.
Actually, I never thought you used any. It just seemed like, you know, a lot of natural beauty. Unlike Frank Morano. I'm looking at him. My God, it's tough, I tell you.
I was actually wondering, Frank, talking about your story just now, I'm guessing that somebody has done a study or research on people's complexions, you know, like dermatologists and what happened after the pandemic. I bet most people's complexions, women's complexions, were great because they weren't wearing makeup every day.
That's a good question. I haven't seen anything on that.
I'm going to go do some research on that.
There you go.
I'm sure this is the number one most important thing to talk about today.
Number one on your agenda has got to be the incredible heroics of Pete Alonso. I mean, are we ready to put this guy in the Met Hall of Fame now? This is incredible.
Yeah, he's amazing. You know, I always felt that it was a mistake for players to get involved in the home run derby because you can hurt yourself. You start going for the home run pitch. You start swinging harder than you should. I tell you, last year he won it and came back. I mean, 2 years ago when he won it, he came back better than ever. This time he comes back better. He had 5 homers in 6 games.
It's incredible.
Yeah, the guy's amazing. And they go out like bullets, these home runs. They're incredible.
Yeah.
So have you been watching any of the Olympics?
Now, I'm not really a big Olympics fan. Even I must say there's a police officer I know, actually an elite police officer in Nassau County, Mike Colpabianco, and his son Andrew is on the he's in 2 diving competitions, a 3-meter dive and another equivalent of that. I'm no expert on diving, but he's in 2 Olympic competitions.
What's his
so
last
I'm
name?
Watching for that. But other than that, I have a hard time getting that involved in it. I used to watch more in the past, but now when you figure out if they do win the gold medal, you know, they're going to kneel or they're going to raise their fist or they're going to not, you know, not honor this national anthem. So I'm sort of half watching it, to be honest with you.
What was the person's last name, the diver?
Colpabianco. His name was Andrew Colpabianco. His father was Mike Colpabianco, and both his father and his mother, police officers in Nassau County. Yeah, and I had a security detail a few years ago. Mike was on mine. Great guy. He also taught my grandson how to play baseball, and obviously, you know, he's taught his own son how to be an Olympic diver, which is phenomenal.
He's a ginger. Andrew is.
That's the guy. Right? You
he's got red hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out for him then.
So
that's pretty cool.
What can you tell us about what's coming up on the Bernie and Pete King show this morning?
Bernie is a genius unto himself. I'm not going to divulge anything other than we are going to maybe tell the full story about Frankie Fiburo's Murano and his flying saucers and different escapades he's conducted in the past. So the man of Staten Island, all the stuff, it's all beyond me.
Well,
this is going to be an amazing beat, Bernie, though, I have to say.
Yeah, I'm kind of you better give me an edge or two here, Congressman. 940.
Okay.
Believe me, I need all the help I can get.
I've heard that. I've heard heard that.
I bet.
Actually, you guys do a great show in the morning. I got to say, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you get up that early and keep it going.
Well, thank you. As I was just saying to Juliet, your contributions to the Cats at Night show have been stellar. And I enjoy especially the odd combinations that John creates on this show. You just never know. You could be sitting next to Governor Patterson one day, Governor Pataki, Craig Eaton, Tony Carbonetti, John himself. You just never know who's going to be on that show. And you always manage to, whatever the subject is, you always manage to get a dose of, a little bit of humor and a lot of common sense.
Yeah, actually, John, I tell you, so eclectic. And, I mean, John will come walking down about 2 minutes to five. He sits down, and suddenly your show goes. And once I'm sitting there and I see Governor Pataki just walking down the hall, I invite him in. He goes on the show. David Patterson, you never know when he's going to show up. Carbonetti's always sort of hanging in and hanging out. He's there. And it's really, and then Alan Dershowitz calls in on the phone. It's just an amazing, awesome guy that John went to high school with, the Brooklyn
Right,
Tech.
You just never know.
Dr. Michalos. I mean, it's always, it works. I mean, if you were laying out an organization chart, you would say, this is never going to work. But it works great. John is able to make it, just juggle it, and somehow it ends up.
That's for sure. Lastly, Congressman, there's a lot of talk of bringing back mask mandates. Juliet and I have been talking about it all morning. It looks like L.A. County's moving in that direction. A lot of other places, even for the vaccinated indoors in those places. What's your view on these mask
mandates? First of all, I think everybody should be vaccinated. And the more people get vaccinated, the more we will get the herd immunity. Having said that, especially with kids, I think that whatever small benefit might come from wearing a mask is more than outdone by the harm that comes to young kids. I think this is going to have a long, just what happened over the last 16 months is going to have a terrible impact on kids who are growing up today, the denied social contact, that whole feeling of living in a mask, the claustrophobic part of it. I think
not seeing their friends,
exactly.
The online stuff. I mean, I was talking with my friend about her daughter who was going through her freshman year, at home, and she said it really messed up the kid's head. I can imagine she's probably echoing the sentiments of most parents out there.
I think there's probably more kids becoming drug addicts or having depression issues because of wearing that mask, living the way they did for the last 16 months. And that, to me, will outdo any gain that they supposedly get by wearing them. So I would really strongly oppose it when it comes to kids. As far as the rest of us, I think you have to start taking chances in life. But having said that, I really would urge everyone to get the vaccination because it's not just you that might die.
Absolutely.
You can spread it around. So it's just and it keeps the virus alive to mutate.
Absolutely. I will see you in 3 hours, Congressman.
I'm looking forward to it.
Enjoy your show.
Stay tuned to the Bernie and Congressman Peter King show. And we want to thank the good folks over at Peerless Boilers for making Congressman Peter King available to us for this preview, Juliet.
All right. Well, just a very quick weather forecast. 91 degrees is the high today. Tomorrow we're looking at 92 degrees, but then on Wednesday it drops down to 81 degrees. And we don't see really any rain in the forecast until probably at the earliest, probably Thursday. So it's, at least for now, it's looking pretty good. 74 right now in New York.
All right, 627. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay tuned for the Bernie and Sid show featuring Peter King. I'll be taking on Bernie at 9:40.
It's time to beat Bernie.
At 627.
It's time to beat Bernie.
At 627, here's Joe Nolan. I'll see you later, Julia.
Glad to help, Frank.